Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Support WrestleTalk.
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis. I'm going to do a weird voice there because I had something in my throat. And I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm not so good.
No, I know you're not, are you, mate?
I hated this episode of Raw. I'm not really in a good mood after an awful Survivor Series. What a high I was on from what I think was one of the best WWE shows of all time with NXT TakeOver War Games. And now, just 2 days later, WWE has slowly and methodically chipped away all my goodwill towards them with their main roster crap. And I'm just... It's going to be a rough 6 weeks.
Yeah,
I keep bringing
really
this up
is.
In the review. This was a bad, bad, bad show. But more worryingly, it sets up even worse stuff, more boring storylines for the rest of the year. So that's my job. Like, that's my job for the next 6 weeks. Is watching embarrassing, crap, patronizing WWE stuff.
God, you're so negative.
I know, right?
So negative.
I did like Braun selling.
On that, this comes in from Sem, who's one of our regular emailers. I said, hello again, guys. In the last 6 months, I've tried to find which wrestling company suit me best. After Crown Jewel, I've decided it's definitely not WWE. Thankfully, you guys introduced me to a non-WWE wrestling world. I found NXT is my favorite wrestling show just because of the balance of in-ring action and promos, video packages, and whatnot. ROH is another show that I really enjoy watching weekly, but I think it's the wrestlers could use more mic time. I do find NJPW entertaining, but sometimes the matches get a little boring. Boring, in my opinion. I think the fact that ROH and NXT are short and sweet to make them easier watching and more entertaining. So I just wanted to say cheers for introducing me to new shows apart from WWE. Thank you for being so consistently entertaining. Your fan, Sem.
I don't think we've introduced anyone to WWE. I think that's how they find us and then they spur off. It's interesting that because New Japan is, I think, the peak of this art form.
Mm-hmm.
But ROH and NXT are an excellent crossbreed of the pomp and spectacle of WWE and the really good in-ring product and solid angles of New Japan.
Yes.
Like they're, yeah, both ROH. ROH, you know, is it's a shame about ROH because I love it.
Mm-hmm.
That was like my first proper indie that I got into.
Yeah.
As a post in a post TNA world in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 2010, 2011? So I hold a special place in my heart, but yeah, they just can't get hot at the moment. I feel like they're not hot.
Well, not only that, but like most of their talent are on the way out. Do you see the report that Silas Young is looking to be joining NXT come January? Shane Strickland is also on his way out.
Yeah.
Yes. Cody has said that December pay-per-view is going to be his last show. The Bucks are not going to be doing shows with him anymore as well. Just losing a lot of their guys, really.
And you think wherever Cody and the Young Bucks go, Hangman Page follows right away
along with Marty
and Marty eventually because his contract is slightly out of sync with them. So yeah,
and
I feel down on everything today.
And you look out into that Ring of Honor crowd on their weekly TV show and you see the amount of Bullet Club t-shirts that are in the crowd and you got to think, are those fans going to stick around as well?
Well, maybe they'll have WrestleTalk t-shirts. The plan is to launch the merch shop tomorrow.
Exciting.
Which
features pictures of us.
Yeah, I got an email through from the people doing it. And they were like, so if you could just send a few shots of your models wearing the t-shirts. And I think they're used to talking with better people than us.
Yeah, good looking people.
Yeah, I was like, models? Or you could wear the t-shirts. Like, okay. So yeah, we had to strip down and take some photos of t-shirts.
It was a sexy, sexy little show we did yesterday.
Yeah, for just us.
Just us. Well, that and the people in the offices either side of us with all of our glass windows.
Yes.
Yes.
They saw it too.
How was your weekend apart from the wrestling?
Well, yeah, it was just all wrestling, really. I played a lot of Red Dead Redemption on Saturday because my lady partner was out getting drunk at karaoke and sending me interpretations of songs. I won't call them performances because there's just too much shouting. And I'm baffled by how out of time four people can be.
You of all people.
Hey, I'm on time. Give me a beat.
I saw the Nia Jax singing that you did.
That's difficult because
pre-editing.
Because you've got to you can't hear the soundtrack. You just kind of...
No, you can just count the beats in your head.
Not that good.
So anyway, so you played some Red Dead Redemption.
Red Dead Redemption. And because I was left alone for too long, I just spent 3 hours researching something called spaced repetition.
And it's the most Ollie Davis thing I've ever heard.
It always happens. And afterwards I was like, well, that was cool, but that was 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I just got sucked into just the hole. The blinkers went up and I was like, I'll try this app. I'll just reorganize all these things. So
I was talking to Laurie Blake about this the other day. We were talking about that he's not very good at working from home. And I like to think I'm quite disciplined when I used to work from home. I don't work from home anymore. But I used to be very disciplined when I did it. I would make sure I got work done. And then by doing work, you would then get a reward at the end of it. Like, oh, I'll watch that YouTube video, or I'll do this, or I'll do that.
Watch that porn.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, but you've got to have the base there before you can get to the reward. Whereas Laurie would tell me, he's just like, I'd think about doing work, and then I just thought, oh, I'm going to quickly watch that YouTube video. No, unfortunately, that YouTube video is 2 hours long. Now it's recommended me another one, so I think I'm going to watch that first.
And he loves his video games, does Laurie?
He certainly does, yeah. I don't think having a Switch is good for him and his productivity. I've got this email here from Prince.
Oh, how was your weekend, though?
My weekend was fine. Saturday was a big old DIY day, lots of drilling. Finish line is within sight. And this coming Saturday is like our final day to get stuff done. Ooh. Because we're entertaining, got friends coming over for dinner on the Sunday, and then the week after that is my birthday,
which
party.
Everyone's invited to.
Well, absolutely, yes. If you can find where I live, that's a joke, by the way. Don't research that. So I've got to start thinking now. I've got to sort out my costume, and we need to sort out all the decorations we're going to do for the house.
Remind everyone what the theme is.
Stranger Things. It is Birthday Things 33 this year. So I'm really looking forward to it. I've got my costume planned out. I know what I'm going to do. I just need to actually just knuckle down and get it sorted. I text a friend of mine who watched Stranger Things and he very much enjoyed it. But he was like, I just couldn't think of a character to go as. Like, I was never inspired by any of the characters to really go. And he's a bald man with a beard. Not like Laurie's beard, but he's just got like, you know, he's got a beard and he's got a shaved head. And I was like, me and my wife are rewatching Stranger Things for the third or fourth time now. And I just texted him, I was like, your guy's Benny the Burger Guy. Benny the unassuming burger guy from episode 2. And he just texted me back going like, that is exactly the sort of costume I was looking for. So, yeah. So, we're very, and the niche of the costume, the better for me.
Well, me and my lady partner have a joint costume.
How exciting. Mm.
And I think it's brilliantly unique. Anna came up with it. But I'm also concerned that when we get there, half of everyone else is going to do it. Because I'll be surprised if anyone goes as 11 or Barb, because those are like, You know, you want to impress everyone with either the most ridiculously in-depth costume or the nichest costume.
Mm. Well,
that crowd.
So my friend Chris, the one who texted me
Don't
about...
come off as basic.
The one who texted me about that there was no characters that were inspiring. His wife-to-be did point out to me, she was like, well, it's very difficult for us ladies to find costumes because really there are only three female characters in the whole show.
Mm.
Well, four, I suppose, if you count Mad Max in season two. And five if you include Mike and Nancy's mum.
What about the Chicago gang? The West Coast Avengers?
Well, that's what I said. Yeah, the West Coast Avengers. There's all those. There's, I've forgotten her name now.
Spock's mum.
Spock's... No. Your lady from Edward Scissorhands. Yes. Winona Ryder. Yes.
Yeah, Spock's mum.
Spock's mum. Fair enough. Yes, that's right. It was Spock's mum. Do you know what? You said that. I instantly went through to like more recent Spock, and I was like, what? What are you talking about?
More recent Spock.
More recent Spock.
Discovery?
No, I was thinking more of like Star Trek Discovery. Not Discovery, Beyond and Into Darkness.
Yes. Oh, what? So not the first new Star... That's the same universe, brother.
Yes.
I forgot what I was going to say.
So anyway, so she said there's not a lot of female characters to choose from. But actually...
Gender bent.
I was like, well, that was what I said. But also, there are loads of costumes. Loads of niche characters you could dive into. I was like, why didn't you go as like... There's plenty of characters. But anyway, so that's my birthday's coming up. So we've got a lot of like DIY stuff to do. Ollie is giving me the signal that I've got to wrap this up. And I always say that because he gets annoyed when I do. Because he's like, stop telling people that I'm the one who's rushing this through. But before I get out of here, we got this... Quick, let me get through this. So this comes from Connor Curran. He's one of our pledge hammers. He's also the winner of the Prince Charles tickets. He said he was looking forward to seeing the show on Tuesday.
We met him.
We did. The other day you mentioned having your own David Starr intro/Twitter bio. So I made one for you. Mm. I took each line of his and tweaked it a little bit. Now, this is just in jest.
This is going to be like 4 hours long.
Now, it's just in jest to go along with your, quote, other one character, and I mean no harm in what I will say, but I will say this, Connor. The first one is very much incorrect. The sugar in your tea. I don't have sugar in my tea, mate. I haven't had sugar in my tea since 2006. So the sugar in your tea. Your favourite person's least favourite person. The reading canon, or could be the reading canon. The physical embodiment of It's Fine. The Barney Gumble of YouTube's professional wrestling scene. The third most entertaining man of YouTube's professional wrestling scene. Mr. Honey Runarana, Lukey WrestleTalk, the 2-Minute Man, the Curtain Jerker. He's better than Ollie Davis at Twitter. The King of Podcasts, the other one, Luke Owen. P.S. If it's too big to tweet you, it was too big to tweet you, so I hope at least you get a mini chuckle out of this. Regards, Connor Curran. Thank you so much for your email. So we are going to get into the show now. Ollie Davis is very despondent listening to this show, so please do give him... I mean, try and give him some bird. Don't tell him he's too negative when you're tweeting at him. He's not going to read it anyway. Mm. Here's the show.
This was an infuriating episode. I freaking hated it. I hated it. I said in my review, if this wasn't my job, I'm out for the rest of the year. I don't come back until second week of January for that Royal Rumble build. I hated it, and one of the main... Well, there are many reasons. There are at least four huge reasons why I hated this show. But let's get into the first one. The night before, Survivor Series, brief recap, Raw won every main card match. The tag team kickoff show is not continuity, weirdly.
It was an error. Raw were supposed to win... But there was a miscommunication and the booking team had SmackDown down to win. That wasn't what was meant to happen. It was meant to be Raw.
And that's why they ignored it for the rest of the show. They were just like, now we're just going to press ahead and pretend that never happened.
They had to say that it didn't count because the whole point was the Raw was meant to get a clean sweep across the whole night.
Yes. So you've got this storyline of Raw beating SmackDown in every single match. And the two caveats attached to this, at least for the men's elimination match, was if Team Raw wins, Baron Corbin would become permanent Raw general manager. Stephanie said that backstage earlier in the night. The other thing was, if Team Raw won, Braun Strowman would not only get these hands on Baron Corbin, which is happening, he would also get a universal title shot against Brock Lesnar. Stephanie McMahon agreed to both of those things on the Raw Go Home show. I thought I might have misremembered or misheard. I went back and watched it. He says both of those things and Stephanie goes, done. but you've got to win this Sunday. Now, I know that that's, and that hasn't what happened. So I know there's like, she's a heel, so she can change her mind. But that didn't, that wasn't explained. They just completely ignored it. So those two things that were at stake at Survivor Series were just dropped in this opening segment.
I think, now I might be misremembering this as well. I don't think that Stephanie said, if we get a clean sweep, you will be the permanent GM. I think what she said was, if we get a clean sweep, we'll remove that black mark from your record from what happened last Monday with the Becky Lynch-led invasion, and we'll have a talk about you being permanent GM. But I might be misremembering it. To be honest, that what she said was inconsequential, because even if she had said, yeah, you're going to be permanent GM, they essentially rewrote it for this week's Raw anyway.
Yeah, so it just makes Survivor Series completely pointless, and that like a pointless where you buried SmackDown. So there was just nothing. And okay, you're gonna have Raw have a clean sweep. Okay, you've made that decision. At least have something interesting spinning off the back of it. This was such a waste. So the opening segment to get the disappointment gauge set right at zero. Baron Corbin comes out, he's gloating about the clean sweep, wasn't a clean sweep. And then he's like, here's the mastermind behind it, Stephanie McMahon. Ma-ma-na, she comes down, she says, SmackDown didn't beat us once. And then Baron goes, well, you know, now it's time to make me permanent, because we won. And she says, Baron Corbin then interrupts, and Stephanie says...
Braun Strowman interrupts.
Oh, Braun Strowman interrupts.
He did interrupt himself.
And Stephanie says, Corbin will become permanent if you beat Braun Strowman at TLC. And Strowman's like, that's the match stipulation. Did he say it's going to be a TLC match?
Well, no, he said, I also get to pick the stipulation. And then Stephanie, I think, ad-libbed a line where she said, well, we're dealing with the lawyers on that one. I don't know if that's going to be the case. Because then he just announced it's going to be a TLC match. So either it is going to be a TLC match, or Stephanie has to speak with lawyers.
Yeah, it's... like, I don't really care about having lawyers and authority figure stuff. I like it. Like, this is good once in a while, but not when it's just completely smothering the show and the creative. So we've now got this. So Braun Strowman, even though he was effectively granted this Brock Lesnar match for the Universal title, if he won on Sunday, Stephanie's like, well, if you beat Baron Corbin, then you'll get a match against Brock Lesnar. Why wasn't Braun Strowman more angry about this? Why was it just completely dropped in the first place? I've looked around. No one's talking about this one. I feel like an insane man ranting in a studio full of wrestling toys.
In all fairness, I'm almost...
action figures.
I also look at this and be like, the storyline leading in was that if Braun won at Survivor Series, or if Braun helped their team win at Survivor Series, why... and by doing so, he then gets his hands on Baron Corbin. Why did Baron Corbin pick Braun Strowman to be on that team? Surely, Baron doesn't want to have a match with Braun, but he still wants to win Raw. Or win Survivor Series. He didn't have to pick Braun. Like, to be honest, they didn't really need him anyway. They would have handily defeated them regardless, because SmackDown are full of dum-dums. But, that's own little plot hole there. I wasn't as annoyed at the Brock thing, only because, and this is what I think WWE were banking on, I forgot that was a stipulation going into Survivor Series. I forgot that was a stipulation leading into our Survivor Series predictions, and that was just 2 days later. And we're a whole 7 days later. There's been 20 hours of WWE programming since then.
Yes. And NXT was good, at least.
NXT was great.
Then Baron's like, okay, well, I'm going to book. If I can do anything, I'm going to soften Braun up for TLC. I'm going to make Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley in a handicap match against you. And Stephanie's like, well, I actually think it should be a six-man tag with you joining them and Braun Strowman joined by Elias and generic pop for Finn Balor.
Finn Balor.
Finn Balor. Yay. I'm like, what is your character? Stop being on my TV. I don't find you or your freaking brother interesting anymore. It's genuinely making me angry.
Well, here's the thing as well. Like, the whole thing of this, the title of this video is like, why Survivor Series doesn't matter. Finally, I'm glad you're on the same page as me. I've been saying this for bloody months now that this doesn't matter. But regardless, I'm thankful for that. The other side of this is that the storyline for Raw decimating SmackDown isn't to fuel Raw storylines. It was to fuel SmackDown storylines. The report is that it's going to lead into, that it's going to further the Shane McMahon heel turn slash the babyface Miz turn, and they're then going to go off into their own little rivalry. So SmackDown losing 3 years in a row and being decimated by Raw is for this over here. But the problem with that, and Brian Alvarez has been pointing this out for a lot of weeks now, it's WWE's like desire to just get heat. Just get heat on everything and never give the baby faces anything back. So Raw decimating SmackDown was to generate heat. And then that heat will just be furthered into Shane McMahon heat that he'll generate over here. And then Raw just does absolutely nothing with the heat that they've generated. Because Michael Cole's saying there the whole show, it's a night of celebration. We beat SmackDown 6-0. There wasn't a single SmackDown win in sight. But it didn't lead to anything. Absolutely did not lead to diddly squat. And like AOP beating the bar, what did that lead to? They bloody lost here. What did Nia Jax get by being the sole survivor? Nout. She just got a match with Sasha Banks. She'd have had that anyway because Raw's got a very small women's division. It just was an absolutely pointless exercise. I hate the Raw versus SmackDown nonsense we have to do every single year because 24 hours later, it's all just dropped. And no one cares about brand loyalty anymore. There's no one in the promos going like, Raw's great. I'm so glad to be part of Raw. And it just infuriates me. I'm not as angry. I just thought this show more or less just washed over me. I'm assuming you gave this a pour.
Oh, a bore.
Yeah, so the bottom. That's the bottom,
bottom
right?
Is bore, yeah.
Okay, I get them confused. They all sound so alike.
That's the point.
That's the gag. Right.
Yeah, it was just terrible. And it just... When things like this keep happening, I just ask myself, well, what's the point? What is the point of caring if WWE are just going to come back the next night and ignore the stuff that happened?
Exactly.
Or ignore the stakes that they set up? And further to Alvarez's point about the heels winning, that was my problem with Survivor Series, really. There's only so much heel I can take. And it's been about 2 months now.
Yeah.
And on this show, I was going, like, the heels largely stand tall, and I'm going through my review and I'm writing the bits. I'm like, oh, Lucha House Party won, Natalia won, Chad Gable and Bobby Roode won. They're all baby faces, but they all won in like 3-minute matches.
And they're all prelim.
And they're all like undercarders that I don't have any emotional investment in. Your Seth Rollinses, your Brauns, your Eliases, your Finn Balors. Just what's the point? Like, the heel heat, I'm done with it now.
And Loser House Party getting their win in a 3-on-2 handicap match, no less.
Psychologically problematic.
Yeah. That came like an hour and a half into the show.
Hmm.
Like, it might even be later than that. So we got like a good chunk of the show dedicated to heat, getting that heat, getting their heat, and they're with no repercussions. And the show ended with more heel heat.
Yeah, and just to have this as kind of the underlying note of depression from this, at least this part of Raw, is that our main event storyline for at least the next month is Braun Strowman versus Baron Corbin with the Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley backup stuff, I guess, and Stephanie McMahon just emasculating from above. That's the main thing for the next month.
I'm so glad that Drew has been once again relegated into like a supporting role for someone else to get over.
Like, no one's been into this Baron Braun thing.
Absolutely
like, this,
not.
This should be, like, Braun should have got his shot at Baron tonight. But Corbin gets made permanent Raw General Manager. Braun comes out, well, I get, you know, my hands on you now. Beats the living crap out of him. Corbin is, like, plays up the injured GM. And Braun can feud with Drew until a rumble match, I presume, with Lesnar.
Well, the report is as well that, like, so Strowman was essentially written off at the end of this show. We'll get into it when we do the full review, but they did like the sort of beatdown angle on Braun. The report is that Braun is legit injured and he's going in for surgery. That's what I was just reading on WrestleTalk.com, a fantastic
website.
It's a great website. I mean, this is Dave Meltzer on Wrestling Observer Radio said that the injury will be on a bone spur, which is an extra piece of bone caused by inflammation.
Oh, wow. So he's got bone growing out of his bone?
Yeah. So
that's a Batman villain.
And according to Google, that sort of injury recovery time is expected to be 6 weeks or 3 months. Mm. So that could rule him out of TLC and the Rumble, which is where he's got his two next scheduled matches. He's got Baron Corbin at TLC, and if he wins that, he gets Lesnar at the Rumble. So we could be without Raw's only top babyface in the on the brand.
Again. Well, and I'll probably have to turn Drew face. It's not an exciting proposition for the rest of 2018 on Monday night.
Just do another turn, mate. We've done about 25,000 this year already. What's one more going to hurt?
I don't know. Maybe you could have Strowman just never take a bump in the Corbin match. That's a way around it.
That is certainly a way around.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Braun Strowman, Finn Balor and Elias taking on Baron Corbin, Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley in an elimination match.
It turned out to be.
Which is about 6 hours long, and 5 hours 45 of that were everyone working over Finn Balor because heel heat.
Yeah, this was Finn Balor getting worked over a lot. And then, shock of all shocks, he was the first eliminated through a Drew McIntyre Claymore. And then Elias was in, and then they worked on Elias for a while. Bobby Lashley speared him, and Elias got counted out. So it ended up being a 3-on-1 on Braun Strowman. But then, the match just stopped because the heels just started to beat up Braun. And then that was it. And then the match just ended.
Well, no, Braun started to come back, but Drew came in with a chair and very lightly dinked him with a chair.
Yes. But
that was a DQ, right?
So Drew is eliminated by being DQ'd.
Ah,
like, the match isn't over.
That's correct.
There's two more people. It's elimination.
That's very correct.
I was like, why is the match just stopped? Because the ref, like, they even did the ding, 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 that match is over. And I was like, why? There's more eliminations to be had yet.
Yeah. That's a very good point. So, but after all of that heel heat, and I thought this match was boring.
It was boring. And it went on for ages. It was like the first 45 minutes, like 40, 50 minutes of this show.
It was the first hour including commercial breaks.
With this, like, the opening promo and this match did make up the first third of the show, and it was boring. So boring. The beatdown afterwards was boring as well.
Yeah, so all three of them beat down Braun Strowman. I will
The new Dogs of War.
Yeah, they even did the roar at the top of the ramp to mock Braun. But I was like, that's what you all did when you were teaming with Braun, and you look stupid when you did it then. But I will go to bat here for Braun Strowman's selling of this. The big spot was they put Braun's arm in the steel steps, like resting on the on one of the steps, and they got the top part of the steel steps, and Baron threw it down so safe, I presume, because that like all the brunt is taken by the corners of the steps, and your arm's nice and protected inside the gap. But it looked great. Braun is just rolling around, can't get up. He keeps trying to stand up and falls over. He's screaming. There was a cut as well, just randomly on his arm, maybe from that dink of a chair shot from Drew. And like that smothered his elbow in blood as well.
Yeah.
So it looked really good. And then like referees and EMTs ran down to check on him. And he's like, I can't feel my fingers. And I just thought that was a really nice touch. I thought Braun's selling was tremendous here.
Yeah, and it was announced later on in the show by Michael Cole that Braun had been taken to a local medical facility and they had diagnosed he had a shattered elbow. Mm. So, yeah, this does seem to be a way to write Braun off TV. Perhaps at least until the go-home show for TLC. We've got 4 weeks until TLC. Seems really weird to be sitting here talking about 4 weeks' worth of build for a pay-per-view. Considering
what a luxury. That's too much time.
The last 2 months that we've had have been like, there's another show. Oh my God, there's another show. It's a week. There's another show. Now we've got like actual time to build storylines. And I'm like, I don't think they can do it. They've got too much time on their hands.
And now's the time they're like, well, let's give these really boring stories time to breathe. As opposed to, Seth Rollins versus Nakamura.
Let's not do a slow build of Daniel Bryan turning heel on AJ. No. Let's give Baron Corbin and Braun Strowman the time it really deserves.
So off of that, we got Seth Rollins. There was a recap of the Rollins-Ambrose stuff from the previous week. Because the Nakamura match was just... I think that was on the kickoff show. Did it happen?
It was completely disregarded here. I'm not even sure. I mean, he did mention it, but he essentially said, I've been really distracted by the Dean Ambrose stuff. So that's how rubbish Nakamura is. He can't even beat a distracted Seth Rollins.
Mm. And yeah, Rollins is talking about how they've got their TLC match coming up. And then Dean appears on the Titantron. I was like, well, here we go. This is my favourite feud at the moment. Well, it was until like everyone turned heel and I don't know what's going to happen. But I think this has been one of the best feuds of the last month, arguably of the year. And Dean appears on the Titantron and he's like, you thought I was just going to come down, didn't you? Come down and fight you, because Seth's calling him out. He's like, I'm not that lunatic anymore. I was like, this is really nice stuff. They're going with this complex, interesting, psychotic in a different way, Dean. And then he starts talking about that the Shield was always rotten to the core.
Yep.
And that now they're all going to get what they deserve.
Karma is going to come to get them, essentially, is what he was saying.
Yeah, and he said Roman has to answer to the man upstairs.
Yeah.
And Seth has to answer to me, as in Dean. And I just... what a horrid line.
He said, in so many words, Roman getting leukemia is because of what the Shield did.
Yeah.
And that, for me... I mean, I know we've been kind of sort of towing the line as to whether this feud has been built around Roman getting leukemia, but I thought this was too much. This was one step too far in terms of exploiting a real-life tragedy. It's the... Eddie's not up there. He's down there in hell. It's that level of line where you're just like, all right, lads, we get it. Like we can move on from this now. Let's just let this real world thing happen, and we can go back into this, this fake world of professional wrestling. I thought it was one step too far.
Yeah, it sat badly with me, and I've been thinking about it. I think it's not because I'm not offended by anything really.
No, I'm not offended. But I'm not
offended by this in that way. It's more like, that's not what Dean's character is. Dean's character, like for me, Dean has been, had this sort of misdirection of anger. Like he's got this grief that, or not grief because Roman's not dead, but he's very sad about Roman getting leukemia and he kind of resents Seth and it's all come out this way. But when he says, no, Roman's like kind of deserves this, which is what he implied, that suddenly makes Dean not this interesting, complex character who's just working through emotions. He is just like just a generic heel who scrapes the bottom of the barrel for insults. And I love scraping the bottom of the barrel.
It's what we do here.
Yeah, but this was just like... what was worse is that it was just, what was it for? Like, the crowd just went, ooh.
Yeah, and then...
It was just a line in the middle of a promo.
And then later on, he further delved into this generic heel nonsense by just starting to cut promos on the city that we're in.
You people.
You people.
He said those words.
Yeah, you people, and this town smells. It's full of smelly people.
It's this is a blood. This is a personal blood feud between you and Seth.
Why are you?
Why are we in it?
I didn't understand that at all.
And that's not us going like, oh, we're offended because we smell, and you said you people. No, I'm offended because it's a crap story that you're going with here. And this was all the promise and potential that this excellent idea had. You just scuppered it.
Yeah, and it was really weird as well because Seth's talking about this WWE Chronicle show that they've got on the network, which is like talking about Dean Ambrose's real life injury there. And apparently in that show, Dean's talking about how he loves WWE and he loves wrestling and he loves the world of professional wrestling and everyone. And Seth's talking about like, I've never heard Dean say the word love. I learned more about him from that video than I did from any, like from hanging out with him. And I'm like, okay, is that real? Is that kayfabe? Is this kayfabe? Like, this is what annoys me with some of these WWE documentaries they do. They don't even blur the line. They essentially say, this one is real, this one is fake. But then the fake one starts referencing the real one, and that just makes the fake one look even more fake.
Mm.
And that's, you've got to separate the two. But they don't. They try to pick and choose from each one.
Yeah, and the puzzle pieces don't match. Yeah. They can. Like, real life can infuse the stories brilliantly.
Absolutely.
But this way it doesn't work out. I didn't actually mind that part, but as another example of that mentality, did you hear about Coachman on the pre-show or the kickoff show of Survivor Series on the panel?
Absolutely. I'll be honest with you, I did not watch it.
Well, I didn't see this bit because I skipped through the talking bits.
Yeah.
But he apparently goes, yeah, because that was like a real punch that Nia Jax threw. Like, come on, man, they're all real punches. They're meant to be.
You idiot, Coach. You idiot.
Hey, great call, Coachman.
Great call, Coachman.
I'm not going to scream into this mic.
No, because you're very loud in my headset.
Yeah, so this... and then, like, this is all bollocks. I hate what they've done with this. And then they go, man, what's going on with this, Renee? What? Like, you're just raising more questions now. I preferred it when you never referenced Renee and Dean together.
I know, right?
Because it's like, what happens?
Yeah,
well, they go home and chat.
And this is like the second or third week they've done this now. And Renee has said the same thing every time, which is, I don't know. Like, next week she may as well say, will you stop asking me? I've given you the same answer 4 weeks in a row. Are they going to turn Renee heel as well?
I don't mind that. Like, someone said on Reddit, like, when Dean walks off at the end of the show, he should have just been like, come on. And she gets up and leaves with him. I don't know where you would leave. I just thought that was a cool visual. Yeah. We'll come on to how crap that gets more because it spreads throughout the night. This set up a hide and seek.
Yeah, didn't it just
throughout the night?
Because Rollins is walking backstage, he's asking security if they've seen Ambrose, and one of them's just like,
I forgot about this bit.
Yeah, he's just like, no, I've not seen him. Get out of my face. So Seth just punches him in it.
Who's the big bull security guy?
See, Ian's come out champion, man. Show some respect.
Yeah. Does he just And like that shot, so Seth's walking around backstage, there's some guards, they mouth off to him. I'm like, what were they guarding? Like, it's just some pipes behind them.
They're just generic security. They're just like to stand backstage.
Guard this area. Don't want to lose these giant copper pipes behind us and bits of rigging.
There's part of the stage that's got to go into those crates back there. Got to make sure them crates are fine.
These enormous pieces of metal are very easy to just walk away with. So we're going to be on here. Two of us.
Hey,
two of us.
You know what? Sometimes when there aren't security around, Braun Strowman gets a hook like he's Legend of Zelda and starts bringing down stages. So maybe they've just put more security backstage since the Royal Rumble.
Or Becky Lynch leading an invasion.
Yep.
I hated it. And then we were all hopeful. This promo package played in Survivor Series,
yeah.
A dual brand pay-per-view. And we were like, well, looks like Lars Sullivan, what you presume is going to SmackDown.
Yeah.
Because SmackDown could do with a big monster guy that hasn't been systematically beaten over a year like Samoa Joe. Nope, they played the Lars Sullivan call-up video package on Raw, which to me implies he's going to Raw.
I cannot wait for weeks of squash matches until you get to a point where he's got to face real competition. Then he'll beat Tyler Breeze. And then you're like, well, I suppose now we've got to put him in a title match. And now we're just going to have to beat him, I guess, because I don't want him to win yet. Mm. Because that is what happens with every single one of these giant people that they put on TV.
Braun, that never happened to... Oh, no, he lost to Kalisto in that stupid... But let's not even get
that's what you end up getting to. Because like they bloody love these big, meaty blokes. But then they just they get to a point and then they go, you're like, I don't know what to do now because we've got four other of these big meaty blokes on this show and we don't want to put we don't have this meaty bloke beat the other meaty bloke just yet because we need to protect this meaty bloke over here. So you can just beat Finn Balor, I guess. But we can't keep beating Balor, so Balor will have to get a win over him. But it have to be a fluky win so neither Balor gets over nor the big meaty guy gets over. And then we can just do that up until, you know, SummerSlam next year.
I think Vince will be excellent at foreplay. You know, just foreplay, massaging, because that's what that is, squash matches. Mm-hmm. But when it gets down to it, I don't like the look of that.
I'm bored now. Yeah, it's gone on for too long.
Or it just, you know, maybe pops too early. Then we got Sasha Banks and Bayley taking on Nia Jax and Tamina. The story here, I guess it kind of span out the women's elimination match, was because Nia Jax turned on Banks in that and got her eliminated. And then won the match for Raw. She did a Triple H, pretty much. Alexa Bliss is on commentary because, I mean, I'm worried about her, really.
It's been a few months now. Yeah. She's not.
Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, still not cleared to wrestle by the looks of things. There was a couple of reports that she's had multiple concussions in a short period of time, and that can usually lead to forced retirement. It's a good job she's a very good talker because if this all does go nipples north, then she does have to have early retirement, which would just be an absolute, that would be a heartbreak, an absolute disaster for her. She at least will have a role within this company because, like Paige, she's a good talker and she's a good on-screen personality. Same cannot be said for Tamina, though, still coming out to cricket, despite all the big push that she's getting. Still no one cares. Like, it's incredible how little a reaction she gets.
I like watching Nia Jax and Tamina next to each other because it looks like someone's trying to draw Nia Jax from memory.
I just think with Tamina, you'd think by accident she'd have had some heat by now. Like you'd have thought because she's with Nia Jax, some of that heat would transfer over. But no, she still comes out to absolute cricket. And they're still doing the Nia Jax hashtag facebreaker thing. Only this time it actually played into the finish of the match where Nia Jax, she clearly watches the show. Or someone in WWE watches the show.
She just watches my music video of her on repeat.
Well, she did
occasionally there's a recommended video.
Absolutely, right at the end. And she punched Bayley while the ref was sort of distracted. And then Nia Jax hit the Samoan drops and wins. It was a match.
Yeah, I enjoy Banks and Jax working together. I think that's probably more Sasha carrying that. But Sasha knows how to work with Nia Jax very well.
I think Bayley does as well. That match they had to take over London.
I know everyone talks about that match. That never really clicked with me as much as it did everyone else. I do really like Banks and Nia together though. Mm-hmm. Tamina is just a vacuum of charisma. Then we got not Wacky Dean, but he is Technological Dean. Because Charlie Caruso is doing a link.
No, she's getting ready to do an interview.
Oh, was she about to?
She was literally.
I thought she was like,
she was like, well, Raw's amazing because we won at Survivor Series. And my guest at this time, I think she was going to interview Baron Corbin. But then Dean appears up on the TV screen behind her. And Dean says,
just quickly put an HDMI cable in there, it back.
Skype call.
Yeah, so threatening when you think of the logistics of this.
He put a call in. Maybe he had Solomon Crow helping him get in touch with him.
Sammy.
Poor old Sammy. And then he says that I'm where the Shield used to call home.
A stairwell.
Yeah.
A stairwell, apparently. Something like they lived in a stairwell?
Well,
I guess they did their promos.
They used to do their promos in those sorts of areas. I'm going to say this now because
it's quite a vague, nondescript.
Well, Seth knew. Because Seth knew exactly where to go because he headed straight for it and he found this stairwell and then he turned around and Dean had written "Burn it down" on the door.
Ooh.
And then Seth was like, "Oh, he's playing games with me." So I'll say this now because I might forget it later on. You're not as au fait with EWR as I may have been. I equate EWR, which for those who don't know, it was a database wrestling management game. You essentially book shows and pay-per-views. You run companies and book matches and hire stars and this, that, and the other. I equate it to one of the reasons I didn't do that well at university. Aside from the fact that I'm as thick as pig poop, I also spent a lot of my lecturing time playing EWR and writing out storylines for the wrestlers to do. I spent a lot of many hours on there. But there's a gimmick within EWR that if you feature a star on a show too much, the ratings or the score you get for those segments go down, because it will tell you in the notes, the crowd got bored of seeing this person too much on the show. I had that with Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose on this show. It felt like half the crew were here, because these two got so much TV time, and all it was Seth walking to locations or Dean being in the same location cutting a promo. And then they came out for the end. I was like, I'm sick of seeing these two now.
Yeah. There was even, it was like such a rubbish imitation of a horror movie. There was the, all this, you know, the spray paint. There's a bit later where Seth's talking to someone. Maybe it's Charlie. Maybe it was Dasher. Who knows? And Dean walks by in the background.
Oh, I missed that.
In like
that.
The signs. There's the alien walking through the barbecue shot.
Did it turn out to be the Jolly Green Giant at the end?
Yeah, no, it's...
They're afraid of woods and water.
Water.
A stupid ending to that film.
Hey! War of the Worlds ends because they get the flu.
That makes sense. Like that's a nice ironic twist ending. These are aliens that invaded a planet that's two-thirds water, and they're allergic to water.
Hey, they should have seen it coming, yeah. Well, that was our blessing. Otherwise, we would be enslaved
by the Jolly Green Giant.
Jolly Green Giant.
Yeah.
So yes, that was that installment of a long and quite boring through thread of the show.
But enough of boring stuff. Why don't we have some terrible, terrible backstage segments?
Of all the things okay, you're going to get rid of that tag team match on the kickoff show. You're going to get rid of the stakes for Braun Strowman and Baron Corbin in the men's elimination match. You're not going to follow up on 90% of Survivor Series on Raw. Why did you choose this one? Why did you choose Drake Maverick pissing himself to carry on to tonight?
Yeah, so Drake's backstage, and everyone who's not booked for the show are there getting food, and they're all making fun of Drake.
You try the peas?
Yeah, just making a lot of wee-wee jokes. And then, like, he walks up to Gable and he asks, he's like, oh, is something funny to you? And then they all make fun of him again. And Bobby Roode walks up and they all laugh at him.
He's like, you're in trouble.
And then
Roode and Gable
he
go
spits
crazy.
Out his water and they laugh. And he's like, what's so funny? And Bobby's, like, trying to recover from how funny this is, says, you said you're in. You're, as in, P.
Mm. So it's not funny. I did enjoy Gable and Rude's attempt at insane over-the-top laughing, but that couldn't even remotely save this segment. It was so bad already. Following up on just an... it fails in all areas. It damages your tag team champions, because this is the guy associated with AOP, who should be a serious monster heel act, and then attack champs. And it's just not funny.
No.
It makes me embarrassed to watch the show.
Yep. And again, I call back to that builder guy that was in my house yesterday who said, you're a bit old to be watching wrestling, aren't you? Yeah, when I see things like this, sometimes I feel like I am.
And they followed that up with some more kind of just embarrassing reasons that make you feel just I'm too old for this crap. Of Lucha House Party versus The Revival. The Revival, an excellent team. Lucha House Party, very, very good wrestlers, all three of them, like Grand Metalik.
Yeah,
he's one of the best high flyers in the world.
Lindsay Dorado is incredible.
But they compete this match under Lucha House rules, which means all three can compete at the same time. So it's a handicap match.
Yeah, which
three on two.
It seemed very unfair on the heels. And they kept saying on commentary, like, well, it's free bird rules. And I'm like, you idiots, that's not what free bird rules means. This is just these three lads had a 3-on-2 handicap match, which was so unfair on the Revival, and then they just win. And Renee Young says at one point, and I'm I really don't want to keep turning on Renee. I like Renee. I really like Renee.
Not in this role, though. Not like, I really like her in an interview capacity.
Love, and I loved her on Talking Smack. She was so good. She is such a naturally charismatic person, and she clearly loves this product so much, and that enthusiasm carries through. But when she is being fed lines on commentary, she does come across as bad pants. And in particular, she said that the Lucha House Party celebrates BYOP, Bring Your Own Pinata. And I just thought, F off, Renee. Garbage commentary. And Corey Graves, the heel commentator, sat there going like, this is ridiculous. Why are they allowed to have all three of them in the ring? And I'm here going like, yeah, I'm agreeing with the heel commentator. This is unfair.
Yeah, so just because we didn't explain what Freebird rules actually are, just in case anyone thinks this is what Freebird rules is. It's just that it's like what the New Day have, where you never know which two people of the three-person act or more will defend the belts.
Yeah, and if you're the tag champs, all three of you are the tag team champions, but you can defend with two of those three.
Any combination.
Any combination.
But this is a 3-on-2 handicap match. Yeah. So it was unfair. It was over in 2 minutes, and the whole stuff with the pinata, like Grand Metalik, so you've got a one person advantage, and you kind of have to use this pinata as a distraction. Grand Metalik gets up on a rope with it, and I'm just like, this is like, I said it in the review, like, I don't care about identity politics. I'm quite fine with stereotypes. But like, this is just dumb. it's like Drake Maverick pissing himself. It's just dumb.
It's as bad as the Mexicals coming down on lawnmowers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's rubbish.
It is rubbish. It is very rubbish. We then got more Seth Rollins walking backstage looking for Dean Ambrose.
That's the one where he walks behind in the background like, oh, there he is. Yes. And Titus goes, hey, Seth, you just walked right past you.
I was going to say, is he Taz? Didn't know Taz was in the building.
Okay, but now we got what I thought this was brilliant. I thought Ronda Rousey cut one of the breast promos.
Breast
promos. What an unfortunate time to make that slip up. All the times I've said best promo. Best promo. There's probably something Freudian going on there.
Probably is. Let's not dive into that now, though. So we've had a lot of, I certainly have had a lot of people. We had a lot of comments that were left on the video yesterday with words to this effect. You idiots. People were cheering Charlotte and booing Rousey because Charlotte was channeling Becky in that match. Well, apparently not, because Ronda Rousey was cheered when she came out here to announce. She came out to a great reaction.
Yeah, there's probably something in that, but
I don't think that's the story they were telling at all.
But, oh, I mean, like, the reason the fans cheered Charlotte.
I don't think that...
There'll be a smattering of that. Like, yeah, Becky. But the majority are cheering just because they're excited they've seen something happen.
Yeah, they're excited to see a big angle. And that apparently is the WWE mentality backstage. Now, they were very happy with how the Rousey-Flair angle played out because it got a reaction. And they just think, well, WWE fans are just going to cheer whenever they see a big angle happen. So it doesn't matter if it's the, quote, correct reaction. It's a reaction.
Well, I mean, that's... WWE have been taught that through, unfortunately, the John Cena years, where everyone, half the crowd boo him, but they still make loads of money. So they're just like, okay, so crowd reactions don't really matter. And that's taught us that crowd reactions don't really matter.
Yeah.
So although we can blame the crowd, it's really a symptom of 10 years of WWE saying everything we do doesn't matter. So just cheer when you see something that looks like news.
Yes. So Ronda Rousey did come out to a great reaction here.
Yeah, they were really behind her. And she said, like, after Nia Jax is beaten, I'm going after Charlotte. I presume that's at Rumble then?
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know how they'll make that work.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, I know you said that she cut the breast promo of the night. And I agree, it was the breast promo of the night. I was really irked by the start of this segment.
Okay.
Because they showed this video package of Charlotte beating down Ronda Rousey with the kendo stick shots and the chair and all this. And it was like dramatic music. And Charlotte was like, this monster. And Charlotte's like, eh. And a flirt. And Rousey's like, eh. Like she's the one who's been systematically destroyed. Ronda Rousey comes out here to a massive smile on her face, giving out gloves to kids. And I just thought to myself, oh, things can't be all that bad, I guess. Mm. You're happy as Larry, mate. You're fine.
Yeah, the
I hate this so much. I hate Vince McMahon telling Ronda Rousey, when you smile, the whole world smiles with you. So you have to smile every time you walk down to the ring, regardless of the situation, you have to smile. I hate it because it makes her seem so pants.
Yeah.
It makes her seem really illegitimate.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I also would have appreciated a bit more selling of the neck from that, the Pillman eyes move that Charlotte did.
But she's the baddest bitch on the planet, yeah, man. She hasn't got time to sell. She's got too much smiling to be getting on with.
But she did. I think she, when she was in the ring and she turned into mean version, she was really, really good. Like, this particular line about how, as champion, you have to be the best in the world even on your worst day. And today is my worst day because of all the injuries, but I'm still a fighting champion and I'm still going to challenge anyone out there in the back. Baron Corbin comes down and says, nah, I'm not going to allow that. And Ronda's like, yes, you will. Otherwise, maybe I'll beat up you. She said it a lot better than I'm recounting. Yeah. I thought this was terrific because she's never cancelled a match. And that's why I'm the baddest bitch on the planet. Got a big pop because bitch is over.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the most over word in WWE.
But people have written in review of this segment that if you go back and watch Ronda's UFC career, especially near the end, it's not so necessarily true, but I thought she did very well in this isolated bit here. I really bought into her, and I thought she came off as a great baby face. And Mickey James comes out. She's the person who's answering. Short match, tapped her out with the armbar. Great.
Yeah, I mean it was a bit sloppy considering how short it was. Mm. They weren't really on the same page. Rousey hit three Piper's Pits, locked in the armbar, and it was a bit of a mess, but it was fine, I guess. At least the babyface won.
But here's the good bit. So Ronda walks up the ramp afterwards, celebrating. She's injured, but she still won. But then out come Nia Jax and Tamina to very little reaction, and Nia Jax stares her down and sort of does this weird. She looks back. And then comes back like this.
No, she was she went to do a fake punch.
Oh, I know. It did not look like that. It looked like, I'm going to get a microphone. Here's my microphone. and this fake punch thing, I'm holding my fist because I am the face breaker. My fist. Sorry, my voice broke there a little bit. But it just looked like, because it looked like she wasn't holding a microphone. I get what they were going for.
Yeah, yeah.
But to me, it looked very stupid. I don't know how you... Maybe just, down a bit lower, maybe turned.
Yeah.
I mean, the way it was like that...
You'd think of all people, Nia Jax knows what it's like to throw a real punch, as Coachman called it.
Well, maybe it wasn't intentional. Maybe. On that, by the way, because a lot of people, again, went against me on the Saturday Ramble when I said I would prefer to say this was an accidental punch. Like, to say it was intentional, I think to follow that argument through means you think Nia Jax intentionally knocked out.
Well, have you not heard the rumours, the conspiracy theories, that Vince told Nia to punch Becky Lynch in the face and then the medical staff told her that she couldn't wrestle? It's all a big conspiracy because they don't want Becky Lynch to be as over as she is.
I don't think that's the case, but hey, conspiracy theories, one in a billion, turns out to be right. So, yeah, to follow that argument through, it's intentional. Okay, that means Nia Jax... So, yeah, is Nia Jax bad at wrestling, or did she intentionally try and knock someone out? Out of those two, I'm always going to give the benefit of the doubt. And I think more people are stupid in the world than they are evil. So...
I think the final... We should really move on from talking about this, because we seem to bring it up on every episode. The final thing I will say on this is that I think that Becky went in hard with her attacks, which you can see in the replay. Nia turned round and didn't respond in kind, but were just like, okay, so we're laying this in. And she laid it in. It was, in a heat of the moment, it was a very, very stiff punch. In the same way that, in the heat of the moment, Becky's attacks were stiffer than perhaps normal. Yeah. It was an unfortunate circumstance. But she is now hashtag potato thrower. That's why I dubbed her.
You avoided saying accident there. Incident. then we got the announcement that Survivor Series 2019 will be in Chicago.
Yeah.
CM Punk return confirmed.
Well, I'm just worried for Johnny Gargano. Bad things happen to him at takeovers in Chicago.
He might be a face again by that point. So that's a great wrestling city. Always love Big Fives going to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Cool.
Then we got Paige here for the trailer for fighting with her family.
Yeah. You haven't really given our thoughts on that trailer. What do you think?
It looks a bit like a... There's parts that I'm into because I really like Nick Frost. I really like Vince Vaughn, actually, especially in serious roles.
Yeah.
But seeing the NXT branding everywhere just makes... It gets my back up. It looks... This doesn't look to me like a film made... It's a film made with WWE and all the PR baggage that brings with it.
Dave Meltzer wrote in The Observer that they paint WWE in a very favourable light. So... That should tell you everything you need to know about the film itself. It'll probably make WWE look like the place where dreams come true.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it looks like a Stephen Merchant movie, therefore unfunny.
I like Stephen Merchant.
Harsh, harsh.
Then we got the payoff to the Drake Maverick pissing jokes from catering earlier on. We got Chad Gable and Bobby Roode versus AOP.
So this dominant monster heel act that you really want to get over... And now having the crowd chant AOPP at them. So, congratulations, WWE. You've turned your monster heel tag team champions into a joke.
We're rewatching NXT TakeOver Toronto from 2016 as part of Wrestle Ramble Extra this month, which is a patron-exclusive podcast. Head over to there and you can listen to that and the entire big back catalogue. And that was kind of where AOP first solidified themselves as main eventers. They won the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic in the Shark Cage match.
Mm.
And to see all the promise there, and they writ like, and their series of matches with DIY,
yeah.
and the revival.
Yeah.
And now this is just, and I mean, not to even get started on Bobby Roode.
Yeah, who was also on that show, had a great match with Ty Dillinger.
A great match with that fantastic entrance with the whole choir singing Glorious.
Oh, man. And how over that song was and how massively into that song was. Not to mention how massively into people were doing the 10 chant for Ty. And it's a real shame as well because when this match, like when it was just the wrestling, I really enjoy watching AOP wrestle. I really do enjoy them, and they have such incredible presence, and they have these really cool-looking moves. But now the crowd are chanting AOPP at them because you think that pissing your pants is funnier than getting them over as a monster heel act. Damaging this is.
Yeah, I mean, I blame WWE.
100%.
Really, for setting that up.
It's not the crowd's fault that they chanted that. It's absolutely not the crowd. The company have told you not to take them seriously.
I think the crowd are blameless in this part, but unfortunately, them chanting that will only make this happen more.
Yeah, it will catch on, and then it will just happen more. And the commentators made reference to it as well, so clearly it was something that backstage they very much enjoyed and wanted to become a thing.
It was actually a decent tag team stuff for the few minutes that this match went.
Certainly.
And I liked the finish of Chad doing a moonsault, but then he rolled up like... I can't remember which AOP member it was, but they dodged it and Chad just turned it into a sunset flip or like a roll-up pin. So like that's a cool finish, and then they run out there, but not right now. Not now.
Right, set them up as future number one contenders. So again, I mean, aside from the fact that it wasn't canon, the Revival being the last team on Raw earned nothing out of that. And the team captains, who got themselves eliminated... get a title shot out of it, I guess. Because Survivor Series doesn't matter.
Then we got Dean Ambrose backstage. And this, like... So, initially, there was, of course, that Roman Reigns bit, which left a bad taste in the mouth. And the sort of change of his character from interesting, complex, grief-stricken heel to generic heel. And then it was just overdone, the amount of backstage segments of Seth looking for Dean and Dean getting away before Seth got there. But this was the penultimate one of these segments, and it really was the one that put the final nail in the coffin, where Ambrose is backstage, and, I mean, his performances are always very good, but the material he's been given is crap.
Yeah.
It stinks, one might say, because he says, there's a smell in here. Oh, what is that smell? Is it Seth's fear? Is it LA? No. And then he says, oh, no, it's you people. So he's turning it on. It's just that I don't know why the fans have to be involved in these feuds. It's like when Becky Lynch says, "You made me turn."
I'm hoping that Charlotte does that promo on Tuesday, because that one will at least make sense. Because the crowd did, the crowd did turn on her. She will actually have justification for saying those words.
Yeah, it'll be the only one where that doesn't. They don't do it then. Seth leaves the arena with his bag, saying, "Well, I've got a flight to catch." Or does he? Then we got Natalia versus Ruby Riott.
The main event of the show.
Technically, yeah. The third women's match on the show. I think the women's division is so much better than the men's at the moment.
100% agree
on
with
Raw,
you.
On Raw, at least.
Oh, yeah, it's not another case on SmackDown. Despite the fact that Becky's like the best thing in WWE, she has no contenders.
It's a shame that all the women aren't on one show. Because really, it's only Ronda Rousey that I'm into on Raw. And Charlotte and Becky I'm very into on SmackDown. But I'm not into Becky and Charlotte together. So I kind of want them both to feud as a three. But they're split across. But yeah. So it was nice to see a third women's match. It feels definitely more representative of the makeup of the roster.
Yeah.
But I thought this was boring.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm guessing this is the end of the Natalia-Ruby Riott feud. Because Natalia got her revenge on Ruby Riott. She got her babyface vengeance by beating her, despite the fact she was essentially at a 3-on-1 disadvantage and there was so much Riott Squad interference, and she just beat the leader of the Riott Squad. Why not have her beat Liv Morgan and then have her beat Sarah Logan and work her way through the Riott Squad in order to get to Ruby Riott? But I guess they just don't want to play this up as a storyline. Unless, of course, this is the new WWE method, which the babyface gets the win and that starts the feud.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Because when they do a roll-up win over a heel, I think in their minds they want to build to that definitive win. So to me, I think it will be the exact same stuff for at least the next month. I don't care. I do not care. And the main event segment was the final part of this whole Dean-Seth sex chase, and then Dean comes down to the ring thinking Seth's gone home, and he's got like a hanky over his nose for the smell, and just
it smells like phony LA garbage,
which is a good line, but not for him. Giant steaming pile of LA garbage. Says they would all betray their friends for money. I just think, this isn't your character. This is like the Jeanette. This is such a one-dimensional version of what you were just a week ago. But then Seth appears on the Titantron, sprinting through the arena.
And Dean stood in the ring like an idiot for ages.
Oh, I quite like Dean's performance here, because
the whole thing he's been doing in the show is he's been running away from Seth. The only reason he came out to do the segment is because he thought Seth had left. Mm. So when Seth shows up, he stands in the ring and goes like, "Okay, I'll fight you now." Well, then why were you running away the whole show?
Mind games. And now the end of...
He swore at your mind games there.
I didn't mind that. He's getting under... Because you can tell the story that at the start of the show, it was Seth calling Dean out. And then Dean was like, "No, you got to chase me." But now Dean is in the ring.
Found me.
And it's Seth that's coming out to answer Dean. So actually those power dynamics work
quite
well.
The worst game of tag ever. Yeah. Apart from that movie Tag, which is diabolically awful. I watched that over the weekend.
Dean, the way he sold this, like, you're here. Okay, you're waiting to get me.
That's exactly it. Okay, cool, I guess.
But, I'm going to kick your ass anyway. I thought it was cool. Seth brawls with Dean, ... dives, and they go through the crowd a bit. But once they're back in, low blow.
Because it's the move of the moment in WWE.
It's so protected. Daniel Bryan, Shinsuke Nakamura, now Dean. I'm just like, I love... like finishes like this. I'm a huge Brass Knucks fan from the William Regal days. Like low blows, ref distractions. Like I almost wish WWE did that more. But when they do, it's just that they only do one of those things.
Oh yeah,
more.
They have a certain finish that they like to do. They get fixated on that finish. It used to be the Titantron distraction. That used to be the finish of a lot of matches. But yeah, and then so it kicked him in the nards, and then hit the dirty deeds. And then left. And then he got back in the ring, hit the dirty deeds once again, while the crowd chanted one more time. Because the crowd had to react to angles as opposed to the actual content of those angles.
Yeah. And because WWE have slowly undermined the emotional realism of this feud, the crowd are kind of, they take a step back and see this all as predetermined nonsense. So they're just going to have a laugh. It's not the crowd's fault. This is WWE's fault for making completely tosh programming. It's It's intellectually insulting. I hated this episode, and it sets us up for an awful 6 weeks.
4 weeks.
Well, I think through. It's not like it's going to get better after the middle of December. They're going to go into autopilot holiday mode until January.
Yeah, that's true.
And then they'll start the Rumble build, which will hopefully be a new chapter. I don't know if that chapter will be good, but at least it will not be this.
My worry is that they're just building to Braun versus Brock again.
Oh, definitely. Oh, God's sake. So I gave it 1 out of 5, a bore. I hated this show. I think it's probably the worst episode of the year. What about you, Luke?
I'd have also given it a 1 out of 5 as well. It was I didn't hate it to the degree that you did. Like, it didn't make me want to. As I've said, I've watched much worse episodes of Raw in the past. It was bad, and it was very, very bad. There was nothing redeeming on this show in my eyes.
No, the Ronda stuff.
But even the Ronda stuff was tainted by her coming out smiling despite the fact that she was brutally beaten the night before, which I absolutely hate so much. So it was a bad show. 1 out of 5, dreadful. Do better, WWE. A quick agony art request here. Obviously, this comes from Vacant. We never read out people's names. But it is a timely one, given the news that came out with Roman Reigns and then Dean Ambrose's promo on today's show. I've written it a few times. As you may or may not remember, my mother passed away last year because of cancer. My problem is every time I see the video recap of Roman Reigns' speech on Raw or someone mentions it, brings back all the bad memories of the worst part of my life. I'm only 16, so I don't know how to stop this problem. Have you got any advice? Thank you for all you do in keeping me happy in sad times. This is a longtime SWAF Nation member.
Oh, that's awful to lose your mum at that age.
It really is, yeah.
Well, any age, but, you know, those sort of teenage years or being very young. God, any advice?
Well, I mean, I've dealt with cancer. My uncle passed away from cancer about 5 years ago, and it was a very, very difficult time because he died very young of it. He was the youngest of my dad's siblings, and it was a very horrible. It was literally like he got diagnosed 3 weeks later. He died, so it was a really difficult time. I really struggled with any references to cancer or anything like that. In fact, actually, I was still with my ex-girlfriend at the time, and we were watching an episode of Sex and the City in which someone is at a hospital because another character has got cancer or something like that. I can't really remember it. And there's a point where someone has to go and make a phone call to tell people that they had passed away. And all of a sudden I just thought, like, God, I had to do that. That is what I had to do. I had to call my nan and tell her because she wasn't very well herself at the time. And so it was very, like, it was really, and I couldn't watch that episode. And I couldn't bring myself to think about it. But my way of kind of getting around that was just try and find something that you can almost latch onto. And in this case, it was the woman who had become my wife. And we just started hanging out a lot more because I just had so much fun hanging out with her. And we would sit there and we would spend our Saturdays watching dreadful TV, in particular Britain's Got Talent, and just making fun of the show the entire way through. And it just, like, going to her house every single Saturday was what I looked forward to. And I was very lucky that she ended up feeling the same way about me and we ended up getting married. So, I mean, I'm not going to say that you're going to meet the love of your life off the back of this, but you need to just find something that you can kind of latch on to and just find enjoyment from something.
Yeah, so, like, friends,
yes,
hang out with them more, get strength from them. Pathologically throw yourself into a hobby,
mm-hmm,
or, you know, maybe even turn it into a wrestling storyline.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be all the rage right now.
Wait.
And very, very tasteful.
Kicking people in the nuts?
No.
Oh, just using cancer. Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you were just talking about other WWE things.
No.
We have got this email here from Harrison Berry. Hi, Luke and Ollie / El Fakedor. I've written a few times. You may remember me as the guy with the wrestling confession about botching a swanton bomb on my trampoline as a child. or the one who was in the high-speed car chase with Chris Jericho. Anyway, here's the deal.
That sounds a lot more exciting than what it was.
Anyway, here's the deal. My girlfriend, not a wrestling fan, is very supportive of my interests, including wrestling. However, she says she doesn't get it, but says she's never actually watched it and doesn't have any large desire to do so. I convinced her to watch one pay-per-view with me from start to finish in an attempt to, quote, convert her. Don't want to show her anything too New Japan, as I'm confident that would be too much to take in and she wouldn't fully understand or appreciate it. The top three I had in mind were WrestleMania X7, SummerSlam 02, and Money in the Bank 2011. I'm not sure how she'll react to more of the zany side of wrestling, for example, the Vince Shane storyline from WrestleMania X7. That's why I'm having a tough time deciding. Any advice would be very much appreciated.
Ooh, it's tough. It really depends on what sort of person your lady partner is. Some people just don't like wrestling. And you think, I'm going to be the one that changes that.
Mm-hmm.
And you take them to a progress show because you think you just need to be here in the crowd. You need to live off these crazy chants and adult atmosphere. And then they walk out and go, eh, it was all right.
Yeah.
And then you're like, ah, it's just not your thing, is it?
No.
And you've got to be grown up about that and just say, well, you know, you can enjoy your thing. I'm going to enjoy my thing. But she also might, like, I personally think it will probably be that.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be, if they haven't latched onto wrestling already, if you're such a big fan, because they would have seen it. They would have seen it in the background. But in terms of those matches, I think need a lot of context to get over. Like the Punk and Cena Money in the Bank 2011, I think that's a bad shout. I think X7 is a terrible shout.
It's too long.
Too long, dated. Not dated, like, not dated for us, but dated for fresh eyes, definitely.
It is, like, it's the greatest WrestleMania ever, but only if you're a wrestling fan.
Yeah, yeah. So
It's not a gateway.
No, I would say, I think it's just general. People seem to latch on to people who more closely represent them on screen, at least initially, as that first hook. So Bailey Banks from Brooklyn.
Yeah, the NXT TakeOver show, yeah.
Or, you know, maybe she's heard of Ronda Rousey. And you can actually, the Ronda Rousey tag match from Mania this year is so pro-wrestling in the best possible way of the crazy turns and twists and bits. That could be a good one.
Yeah, I think that's a really good shout. That would be my recommendation, is not to show a whole pay-per-view, is to pick and choose matches. A really good podcast to recommend on that is How To Wrestling, because that is literally, the guy who presents the Ashley Deer podcast, Kevin Mahan, he's introducing his girlfriend to wrestling. And so the podcast takes you through a wrestler. Each episode is How To Wrestler. So they do like How To John Cena, How To Brock Lesnar. My wife has listened to the podcast because she really enjoys them doing podcasts. It has not made her want to watch wrestling, but it has given her a better understanding of sort of the wrestling world. And we've had sort of conversations off the back of that. And she has said that she'd be interested in watching a match or two. I think if you were so dead set on watching a whole pay-per-view, I don't know why, but my recommendation is always Royal Rumble 2000. I would skip the Miss Royal Rumble contest, because that has aged very, very poorly. Unless, of course, you just wanted to show it as, like, this is what wrestling used to be. Look how bad it was. But it gives you such a broad spectrum of, like, what wrestling can be. You've got the violent nature of the street fight between Cactus Jack and Triple H, but you've got sort of the intergender stuff with Jericho and China earlier on in the card. And then, of course, you've got the Royal Rumble match itself, which has got loads of characters. You don't need to know who each of the characters are, because the characters themselves should be able to get over their traits. And it just kind of shows you the weird and wacky world that wrestling can be. Because at one moment you've got, like, Cactus Jack and Triple H beating the holy hell out of each other, and then just 20 minutes later you've got Rikishi and Too Cool dancing in the ring. There's plenty of stuff to get involved in there.
I think that would be a bad gateway again.
I mean, as I said, I would watch matches
for a lady person. Evolution, this year's Evolution, for a whole pay-per-view.
But that's assuming that she would only enjoy it because it's women's wrestling.
I think initially you want to go down that route. Mm. And then you're like, okay, so now you've kind of latched on to this. Like, pragmatically, I think this is the best way to approach it. And then you go, well, now let's try this match. Let's try Mixed Match Challenge. Mm. It's like the next foot along.
Speaking of that, we actually had a bit of a call out on Saturday's episode for some of our podcast sisters to get involved.
Oh, yeah.
And give a shout out. And someone did get in touch with me. I'm so sorry. They got in touch with me on Twitter to let me know that they were a podcast sister.
A podcast sister.
And I didn't reply, or I didn't do anything with it.
It just
sort of fell amongst. And I was doing something else, and I really do apologize. Please do get back in touch, because so we can give you a big shout out.
You can't expect Luke to go back through his Twitter feed.
There's only so far you can go back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What, in, like, mentions?
Yeah.
How much do you tweet?
Well, it's how much people tweet me. That's the thing, isn't it? It's people getting in touch with me.
Because Twitter.
I know you don't like Twitter. That's why you never use it. Let's get out of here. But before we do, we've got this from Mark Fitzpatrick, which is a Rusev Hey / WrestleTalk Get Better. Ooh. And this will lead us quite nicely into our preview for SmackDown. Thank you for the tremendously consistent content you put out every week. I suffer from anxiety and OCD and find that listening to you guys while working greatly helps me through the day and keeps me going. I'm only a couple of years older than you, Luke, and I love all the non-wrestling mentions of things that you like Ghostbusters, Ninja Turtles, and Star Wars. I also have a Rusev hate for you. Recently, on a day out in Brighton, I spotted a man who looked suspiciously like Daniel Bryan and got my wife to run ahead to see if it was him. After getting the thumbs up, I approached him to ask for a picture, and although he was in a rush, he kindly stopped for one with me.
What a heel.
I was rather intoxicated, so I looked gormless in the picture. Keep up the good work. And that is from Mark, and there is that very, very small picture of Daniel Bryan with you, my friend.
What a lovely man. He's going to be such a great bad guy.
Oh, it's going to be great, isn't it? Yeah. So, yeah, we will be back tomorrow for the SmackDown review. How will Survivor Series affect SmackDown? I mean, you've got to assume somehow. They lost every match on the show. The pre-show doesn't count. How will Daniel Bryan do something with the WWE Championship that he won 7 days ago? I suppose we'll find out.
Charlotte.
Yes, we'll get the Charlotte, you fans turned your back on me promo. And I'd imagine some
heel turns.
We'll get some other heel stuff. We'll get some, hopefully, maybe we'll get like a Rey Mysterio Miz match. We can only hope. Anyway, that's all from us. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.